It's interesting that almost everyone in our culture today celebrates Christmas. Have you thought about that? How interesting it is that people from all kinds of walks of life, doesn't matter what religion they are oftentimes, people in all walks of life, all faiths, in our culture today, oftentimes celebrate Christmas, whether they believe in Jesus or not. A poll taken in 2019, just 3 years ago, showed that 93% of Americans celebrate Christmas. 93% of Americans celebrate Christmas. But only 71% of them say that they celebrate it in any kind of religious way. No spiritual reason for celebrating for many of them, for some of them. In other words, many people have come to incorporate the traditions of Christmas without observing the true meaning of Christmas. For many today, Christmas isn't sacred. It's just a normal part of the year. For some, that probably means take it or leave it. For some, that means it's a normal day. It doesn't matter a whole lot, but you know, they might incorporate a few traditions. And I don't know if it's because of commercialism or just because I'm older than I used to be and I don't get as many presents. But some of the magic of Christmas does seem to be missing as compared to when it was growing up. And yet I wonder if what it's missing isn't something that it really needs. Because despite what most Hallmark Christmas movies may imply, Christmas isn't primarily about family. Christmas isn't primarily about the gifts that we give one another or enjoying a evening alone or with your family cuddling by the fireplace. Christmas is about the gift that God gave us. And God gave us this gift in a very normal-looking package, the birth of Jesus. So we've been talking these last few weeks about when Jesus was born. And the truth is, we have no idea. We honestly have no idea. We don't know if he was born in December or January or even in winter at all. Some people actually argue that Jesus was born actually in the spring or the summer. We don't know. But we do know that the night that Jesus was born seemed very normal. Very normal. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. It's a Christmas story. It says this. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, was born for you a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the greatest gift we can ever receive, because it was the greatest gift that we could ever, that anyone could ever give, that you could give. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to think right now about one of the most ordinary things that you did this past week. What's something just extremely ordinary? Sleep? Yes. Something that maybe you do every week, something maybe you do every day, like sleep. Something that if you were to tell someone else about this thing that you did this last week, nobody would find that interesting whatsoever. What's something ordinary that you did? Grocery pickup, yes. Wash dishes, ordinary things. Yeah, yeah. And anybody else, something so mundane? Laundry, yes, right? Things, right? This week, Nick sat on the couch. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, maybe it was work or school or taking out the trash. These things that we're talking about, just so ordinary. So ordinary things that we do every week. No one would think any of these things are special occasions. And it was the same kind of experience, the same circumstance in which it was that same kind of thing that the shepherds were experiencing. That same time, that's when an angel broke into history while the shepherds were doing something so ordinary, something they did all the time. To the shepherds, it was a night like any other night. They were watching their flocks by night because that's what they did every night, like clockwork. That was their job. It was just a normal night. So, those who argue that Jesus was born more likely in the spring or the summer point to the fact that the shepherds were outside at this time, staying out in the fields, watching their flocks at night. And of course, that would make perfect sense in the warmer months, right? It's not the dead of winter. In fact, Jewish teachers wrote in the Talmud that sheep were only free to roam the pasture from about March to November. So in December, they would have likely been confined to the sheep pen, not out roaming the fields. And yet, going back to this, it still could be December thing, historical evidence also shows that some animals were always kept out in the fields, even during the winter months, since animals were needed year-round for the Jewish temple sacrifices. So interestingly, the shepherds who may have been watching over the lambs, which were going to be sacrificed in the temple, those shepherds were the first to hear about the birth of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sins of the world. Now that would be cool if we knew that this happened in December, but we don't know. But in the end, we just don't know. We don't know that Jesus was born on December 25th, and we don't know that he wasn't. But that's not the point of the story. The point is what comes next. Verse 9. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you the good news of great joy that will be for all the people." We had our nativity play here last night, and part of the play included this very scene. Remember, I was one of the shepherds over there. We had shepherds and an angel, and the shepherds, when the angel appeared, the shepherds were terrified, and man, they did a good job showing that they were terrified, didn't they? Those shepherds, man, they were top-notch. Those they deserve roles in Broadway or something. They were good shepherds. But as we were preparing this play, we talked about costumes for the angels, and my daughter Emily suggested that maybe we should make the angels more like how the Bible sometimes describes angels. Maybe like with googly eyes all over them. Maybe having four wings. Maybe have them resemble wild beasts. Like the cherubim in the Bible are depicted in Ezekiel. In fact, this is an artist's rendering of what those angels may have looked like. Just kind of terrifying, right? Strong and mighty and nothing like we oftentimes picture angels in the Bible. This is how in Ezekiel the cherubim are described. Now, not all angels in the Bible look like that, because technically not all angels are cherubim. And cherubim might even be an entirely different creature aside from, a different species from, all the angels mentioned in the Bible. We just don't know what these angels in Luke chapter 2 looked like. But the fact is, when we usually imagine this scene at when Jesus was born at night in Luke chapter 2, we usually don't picture what it actually looked like. I mean, how can we? We don't know. We don't know what angels look like. But the fact is, these shepherds were terrified. It says that they were terrified. And they were terrified because angels are often described, at least not shown exactly like this, but even when they're described in the Bible, they're described as being terrifying beings. They weren't cute little things like we oftentimes imagine. They were warriors. They were an army. Try to imagine for a second that you're outside at night, whether it's summer or winter, it doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, a whole army appears. And all around them, it's nighttime, and it just starts shining so bright as if it's daytime. I think we'd all be a little scared. I know I would be. Like, what is going on here? Why are they all looking at me? Like, did I do something wrong? So the angel said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid." If this army that just popped out of nowhere and it turned bright all of a sudden and told me, then don't be afraid, I think I'd still be afraid. Just being honest. Look, but then they said, so the angel went on and said, look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people, including you, shepherds, including you. This is good news. And this is what Christmas is all about. As much as we might like or dislike shopping or gift giving or even spending time with families at Christmas time, that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas isn't about all of our traditions. It's not about the time of the year or shopping or gift giving. It's about the good news, the gospel, and the angels proclaimed it. It's good news of great joy. When a lot of us think about Christmas, our favorite things are often the other things. I mean, if we're honest, what we like about Christmas is getting together with family. We like giving our kids gifts and sometimes receiving gifts or buying our own gifts or whatever the case may be. We like spending time with family. We like doing all these things. And those can be great things. But if we look forward to these things at Christmas time as if they're the best things, as if that's what Christmas is all about, we've treated the gospel as if it's just good news of mediocre joy. It's good news of kind of a little bit of joy. Maybe it's the occasion for our gathering, but it's not the gathering itself. So, yeah, we're appreciative of it. Thank God for Christmas, but we'll read the Christmas story and then we'll move on with the rest of our day. No. The gospel is good news of great joy. This is the gospel. This is Christmas. It's Jesus himself coming to live as one of us, to grow up and then die for our sins. That's what Christmas is all about. I mean, be thankful for the other things a little bit, but worship the God who gives us Christmas of great joy. It's good news. This makes all the other news seem like nothing in comparison. And this news wasn't just for a few people. It wasn't just for the Jews. It's not just for Christians to keep themselves for themselves today. The angel told the shepherd that this was good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. So check out what this good news was. Verse 11. Today, in the city of David, a Savior will be born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This was the great news, the good news of great joy then, and it's still the good news of great joy today. Jesus, who is the Messiah, the Savior, our Lord, was born. For any baby to be born is still somewhat of a miracle, isn't it? It's really an amazing thing for a child to be born. But for the Son of God to be born as one of us and to live and grow up to die for our sins as our Savior is the best news that we can possibly receive. So many people wrestle with God all their lives. You've probably known many people who are like this. Maybe you are someone who wrestles with God still. You have an inner turmoil. We just don't know. Maybe we've probably all at least done this at some point. We've attempted to cast off God's authority. We've reasoned that God must not love us because of our circumstances or something we've done. Sometimes we even can convince ourselves that God must not be there at all, because if he were, he'd do something about what we're going through. But Jesus being born as our Savior is the answer to all of these questions. God did something. Our Savior coming means that God will deal with all injustice and has dealt with all injustice, and that he's rescuing us and has rescued us from all of our sins. You see, what people, many people oftentimes struggle with to find for themselves in life has already been given to us by God. Through Jesus, we have peace. Through Jesus, we have joy. Through Jesus, we have eternal life because we're completely loved and forgiven in Jesus Christ. But instead of receiving Jesus as the gift that he is, many preferred to cling to their sin. Jesus truly is the Savior of all men, but we each need to receive him as our Lord. But instead, with the common thought that we no longer need archaic things like religion, people demand proof that Jesus is who he said he was. But the truth is, God has already given us all the proof. He's given us abundant and satisfactory proof if we just listen to it. And it started long before Jesus was even born. There are countless prophecies before Jesus even came onto the scene in the Old Testament, written hundreds, if not thousands of years before Jesus was born. Some of these were in Isaiah chapter 7. It says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning God with us. Chapter 9, verse 6, "For a child will be born for us, and he will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Micah 5, 2, "Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from ancient times." So if you're paying attention, these are just a few verses pertaining to Jesus' birth, just his birth, so that we would recognize him when he came, that he would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, just as the Old Testament prophesies about him. But then there are countless other verses in the Old Testament prophesying about Jesus' life and ministry. And then he comes on the scene, and then he does all these things, signs to show us who he was and who he is. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, "Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness." We talk about a sign pointing to Jesus, that he is who he said he is. John chapter 11, starting in verse 41, Jesus raises his eyes and says, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this, so that they may believe you sent me." And after he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out bound hand and foot with linen strips, with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Man, talk about a sign of Jesus' coming, pointing to that Jesus really is the Son of God, born as one of us, to show us that we can place our faith in him and have salvation in him. And then it says in John chapter 20, starting in verse 30, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Nobody can explain any of the amazing and miraculous things that Jesus could do except to recognize that he did them by the power of God in order to show us that he is the Savior. There's many people who deny that he did these things, but nobody who actually studies these things and admit that Jesus did them can explain them any other way except to fall at his feet and worship him. And yet before Jesus did any of these things, when it came to the night of his birth, the angels gave the shepherds a much simpler sign. The angel told them in verse 12, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Now that, of course, would have been an unusual sight. A newborn baby would not be lying in a manger. Usually when we picture the manger in this story, we picture something like this, right? Maybe it isn't exactly ideal for a baby, but at least it looks kind of special, right? Got this nice glow to it. It looks very, you know, very, very nice. The carpenters would appreciate the carpentry, maybe. But maybe instead we should picture something like this. This is a water trough for animals cut from stone, kind of thing found in many barns in the first century when Jesus was born. It's no place for a baby. And even though we don't know exactly what the manger looked like that Luke writes about, this was much, much more closely the circumstance that our Savior was born into. You see, the angel wasn't just telling the shepherds how to recognize Jesus when they saw him. I think that was part of it, because it certainly would have been unusual to see a baby born in such circumstances. But even more than that, the angel was showing that even from his birth, Jesus was despised and rejected by men, as the prophet Isaiah said he would be. William Barclay wrote in his Daily Study Bible, "All through these readings, we must have been thinking of the rough simplicity of the birth of the Son of God. We might have expected that, if he had been born into this world at all, it would be in a palace or a mansion. There was a European monarch who worried his court by often disappearing and walking incognito amongst his people. When he was asked not to do so for security's sake, he answered, 'I cannot rule my people unless I know how they live.'" So while shepherds watched their flocks by night, when everything seemed so ordinary, the most extraordinary birth in all history took place. The King of Kings came down from his throne in heaven and clothed himself in rags. He took on our humanity in order to live among us, feeling our pains, empathizing with our weaknesses, so that when he would die on the cross, he was intimately aware of just how fallen we all are. He continued to love us. Maybe this morning you came to church knowing how far you've been from where God wants you to be. The birth of Jesus reminds us that that's okay. God loves you as you are, not as you should be, because none of us are as we should be. It's while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. But we could also say it's while we were yet sinners that Christ was born for us. If you've never trusted in Christ, even if you've been in church all your life, I invite you this morning to trust in Jesus, who was born for you and died for you so that you can have salvation in him. Let's pray. God, thank you that we can come and worship you. Thank you that this Christmas we can come and sing songs of praise to you. And as we close the service this morning, we just pray that not only will you be glorified in us through this service, but you'll be glorified in us as we rest in Jesus every day. Not knowing the day that Jesus was born, I pray that we would celebrate his birth, resurrection, every day of our lives, that we might be transformed by it, rest in it, and truly receive it as good news of great joy. And that we would tell all the people, because it is for all the people. Help us to share the gospel. Help us to be joyful in a dark world. Help us to shine the light of Christ wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.